100 years ago this week, at a special meeting of the Geological Society in London, a stunning revelation. The possible discovery of the holy grail of paleoanthropology, the missing link between ape and man. A human-like skull and an ape-like jaw fragment had been found in a gravel pit in the hamlet of Piltdown, England, and they were believed to be 500,000 years old. Despite some initial doubts that the fragments came from the same specimen, the so-called Piltdown Man became a widely accepted link in the chain of evidence of human evolution. Accepted, that is, until 4 decades later, when Piltdown was exposed as a total fraud. Evan Haddingham is senior science editor at NOVA, well-versed in this historic hoax. At the center of the story, he says, was a man named Charles Dawson.
Charles Dawson was a well-to-do solicitor who lived in the town of Lewes in Sussex, one of the richest areas in the whole of Britain for geological and archaeological finds. And so in this town was a thriving group of amateur collectors. They were highly competitive. Dawson had been roaming the downs for decades, and every now and then he'd send some curious discovery to Arthur Smith Woodward, who was the curator at the British Museum of Natural History in London.
And Smith Woodward lent a lot of credibility to the Piltdown discovery, even though scientists suspected that the skull and the mandible actually came from different skeletons.
There was some initial skepticism about the find, but every time a serious point of debate was raised, lo and behold, a piece of fossil would crop up almost miraculously, which answered some of the objections that called the find into question.
But interestingly, it was foreigners who were more skeptical than the Brits, and this brings us to the political context.
Well, 1912, it's before the outbreak of the Great War, of course, which shook up the values of all the imperial powers. So it's still the height of the British Empire. Playing into a sense of national pride was the notion that perhaps England had been the entire center for the origin of humanity. Surely it was about time that Britain had its own discovery on par with those that had been found in Germany with the Neanderthals and so on.
There wasn't just a political context. There was also the prevailing notions of racial differences when this discovery was made.
There was probably unconscious racist overtones in that continuing willingness to believe that Piltdown was a true discovery. In the 1920s, the first discoveries were made of ancestral humans in southern Africa, and they were very easy to reject because even though Darwin thought that Africa was the probable place of origin for humanity, it was far more comfortable to think of this man-ape in England being a formative character in our past as opposed to a place like Africa.
Since Piltdown was exposed as a hoax in 1953, people have floated theories about who the hoaxer was. Some have implicated Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
The fun part about Piltdown is the dozen or so suspects that have been paraded around. And by far the most exotic candidate is Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the famous author of Sherlock Holmes. The evidence that Conan Doyle had anything to do with this consists mostly in parallels in Conan Doyle's famous tale, The Lost World, about a lost colony of ancient humans that coexisted with the dinosaurs on a plateau in South America in the present day. Conan Doyle did know Dawson. They did lunch together. And Conan Doyle may have chatted to Dawson about his developing idea for this exciting novel, and it's possible that that actually planted the idea of the hoax in Dawson's mind, not the other way around.
Why did Smith Woodward never begin to doubt Piltdown? Anytime anyone ever found anything, Dawson was always there.
Dawson expertly played on the expectations of the scientists in London. He played up the image of himself as an enthusiastic, knowledgeable amateur. He really charmed Smith Woodward. Smith Woodward also invested a huge amount of his reputation and career in Piltdown. For over 20 years, he dug every summer, rather sadly, never finding anything again. So during Smith Woodward's lifetime, it was very unlikely that anybody would critically examine the remains. But in 1948, he died.
So that brings us to the late 40s and early 50s. A couple of scientists tried to assess the Piltdown remains. What sort of high-tech CSI techniques were available to them at the time that weren't available before?
They ran the relatively newly discovered radiocarbon test, and the shocking truth finally came out. It was a modern jaw of an orangutan, and the skull fragments belonged to a modern human, possibly from a medieval cemetery. And once suspicions about the date were raised, they did something really basic, which was to really examine the teeth of the jaw under a magnifying glass. And lo and behold, it was obvious that they'd been filed flat. And that was why they didn't resemble an ape's tooth.
Now, you've actually seen those teeth. Does it strain your credulity to think that people wouldn't have seen that before? Because you've said it's a pretty crude file job.
It's astonishing when you look at the remains that are still there, kept in a drawer in the British Museum of Natural History. The most obvious piece of the fraud was a canine tooth that was found in 1913, planted by Dawson a year after the first remains. Because you can't stain a tooth the way you can bone, the hoaxer actually used paint on the root of the tooth. What looks obvious today wasn't at all obvious to the specialists back then because of their expectations.
So in terms of scientific hoaxes, is there anything that compares to Piltdown?
Not really. Piltdown still stands as the preeminent story of scientific skullduggery.
Pun not intended.
Sorry. Anyway, it really did have an extraordinary influence on the way we saw human evolution. It fooled the scientific community for four decades, and there's been nothing like that ever since.
What drew you so deeply into the Piltdown story?
It's the ultimate Agatha Christie story. Charles Dawson had a well-documented and burning ambition to make his mark on the scientific world. People have looked at the other things that Dawson collected. And at the present time, I believe the count of fraudulent objects is 38. Spanning a couple of decades, Dawson had forged not just bones and stones, but Roman statuettes. And there was even a sea monster that he claimed to have seen crossing the English Channel. All of these things fall into the picture of a very smart but compulsively dishonest and manipulative collector. We really don't know the fine details of how Dawson did this, but there are wonderful, tantalizing clues planted throughout the huge literature and correspondence surrounding Piltdown. You can get completely lost in the search for hints in letters and so on. For anybody who loves masterpiece mystery, you can find all of that in the Piltdown story.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brooke.
Evan Haddingham is senior science editor at WGBH's Nova, and as far as I can tell, an anatomically modern human.